Hi, I'm Guy Simmons, head baseball coach at Frank Phillips College, and in this video we're going to work on what I call hitting the six ball theory. It's a theory that I've come up with in order to get us to stay on plane of the ball longer and to be able to hit all pitches. The thing that happens with young hitters is they pull off the ball too much. When you pull off the ball and you come off the ball quickly, as you get higher up in the baseball, it makes it much more difficult for them to hit the curveball and the changeup and all these other types of pitches that the pitchers are going to try to fool us with. So in a six ball theory is we're going to try to stay on the plane of six balls, and we'll go through this systematically of how the whole hitting process works, and I think that will help all of your hitters. Okay, the beginning phase of hitting is where we're going to actually learn to grip the bat correctly and have a proper stance. And what we try to get guys to do when we talk about hitting is we want them to grip the bat up in their fingers. So we don't necessarily talk about lining up knuckles, because for each guy, their hands are different. The size of your hand is going to make a difference in how your knuckles line up. But what we want you to do is grip the bat up into your fingers and not in the palms of your hands. So it'll be up in here somewhere. And you know, ideally for me, you would line up your door knocking knuckles. But if they're slightly off, that really doesn't matter. Sometimes we get too much emphasis on knuckle alignment, when what we need to have the emphasis on is it bat in our fingers? Is it relaxed in our hands? Do we have the ability to have some a good grip and be able to hold onto the bat and be able to put the pressure that we need to when we get to contact? Because at contact, we want to be as strong in our hands as we possibly can. That's why it's so important not to grip a bat into the palms of your hands, because when you're there, you're actually going to be weaker. And when I bring the guys in a little bit, I'll show you that you're weaker when the bat's down in the palm of your hands. So basically, let's get it out into our fingers. Once we have that happen, once we get a good grip where we can be loose and in our fingers and be able to tighten up and be strong, what we want to do is develop a power base is what we like to call it here at Frank Phillips, where we'll have our feet just a little bit wider than shoulder width apart, and our knees are going to be inside of our feet. What I like to tell young hitters is, and when I first get them, is let's have some kind of a base in which we would be really strong, where we could jump if we needed to and be able to land balance. Hitters want to stand straight up for some reason or another. They get up here and they're standing straight up. What I think you got to do is you got to have a bend at your knees, a little bit of bend at your waist, so that you're in a position to move. This is the ultimate athletic stance. Basketball players use it, football players use it, everybody uses the athletic stance. Why not a hitter? If it's the best stance for guys to do in all of athletics, it should be the best stance for guys to use as a hitter. So we try to get them to have a power base, knees slightly inside of the feet, bend at the waist, bend at the knees. If they do that, now they're in a strong position. One of the reasons that young hitters don't hit is because they're afraid of the ball. If a guy is throwing a ball at me at 85 to 90 miles an hour, I'm a little bit afraid of it too, because it's going to hurt if it hits. So what I want to do is know that I'm in such a position that I would be able to get out of the way of the pitch if the guy does throw it in at me. By being athletic, I can do that. So that takes one worry away from the hitter. I tell my guys, you know, get here and get in a position. I'm going to count to three, and you should be able to jump straight up and come back down and be balanced. So we go something like this. One, two, three. They jump up and they come back down balanced. They should be able to stay in the same position as they are when they start. If they can't do that, if they can't jump and have some lift in their legs, then they're really not in a position to be a great hitter. So that's the important key there. That's the important key we want to get. Bat into our fingers, and we want to have a power position here when we get in our initial stance. After we've developed this strong power position and we're balanced and we're ready to go as hitters, the next thing we want to talk about is our hand position and our elbow position. Our hand position should be, we want our hands to be as far back as our back foot. If you took every great hitter in baseball, from Babe Ruth to whoever's the greatest hitter today, and that's debatable, so we'll just go Babe Ruth to today. Every one of those guys, when they get to the launch position, their hands are going to be right over their back foot. What I like to do is simplify hitting. So if we got to get over the back foot, we don't want to be in front, we don't want to be behind. I like for my hitters to start, if possible, right over the back foot. Now, do I clone hitters? I do not. But what I want to try to get them to do is be consistent with their hands getting over their back foot. Best way to do it is start there. So what I tell them to do is get the bat, take it here to where if I took it out of their hand and went straight down, it would go right through their back foot. If their hands are there, what you'll notice is we've created a box here. We've got an L formed. We want the hands to stay above the elbows. We don't want it to be even with the elbows or below the elbows. We want it to be above the elbows slightly. If the hands stay above the elbows slightly, that means the elbows have to be down and relaxed. We don't want our elbows up here because what does that do? It creates our hands even with our elbows. Hands must stay above the elbows. Do I want the elbows tight into the body? No, I want them to be relaxed with the hands above them, hands over the back foot. If we can do that, we've created the position of the hands that they need to be in for them to be able to launch this bat and throw it through the zone and hit the ball as hard as possible. That's the key. We want to create bat speed. We want to have a maximum working velocity of bat speed. We want to be able to take that bat and have good barrel control through the zone, and we have to do that by getting it in the proper position with our hands over our back foot and our elbows down slightly. The next thing we want to do is we've got to do the one thing that makes us a great hitter, and that's get both eyes on the pitcher. A lot of times hitters are lazy, and what they do is they'll bend their head down this way or they won't quite get it turned. That head has to physically turn where both eyes are on the pitcher. That's the way that our eyes work. You know, when you're driving, you're sitting up. If you're watching a television program and you're laying down and something comes on you really want to see, you always sit up because that's how your eyes work and give you the best opportunity to be successful at seeing something. When a guy's throwing a ball at you at between 80 and 95 miles an hour, you've got to have your eyes on that pitch and you want to get as much information off that pitch as possible. So the big key here is let's get our head up and both eyes on the pitcher. So our head will physically turn and basically our chin will be on this shoulder. If we can be in that position, now we are in a position to be a good hitter. That's the initial phase. If you have any breakdown in any one of those parts, from the stance down, from the ground up, with your hands or your head and eyes up, you can't be a successful hitter. Once you do that, now we can talk about the stride, the approach to the baseball, and all the other things that people think are important. I believe the initial phase, having a great stance, hands in the right position, head and eyes on the pitcher, are what's going to make you successful. Obviously, you've had some success already with hitters, or you've been a successful hitter already. What we want to do is maximize that. So if you can get a great stance, be in a great position to hit, now we can really work on the rest of the hitting process. After we've created the good stance and we have our hands over our back foot, then what we want to do is getting to the hitting process. If you've got that great stance and your hands in the right place, now you can really work towards becoming a good hitter. So what we're going to try to do now is we're going to talk about the initial trigger or load phase. Some guys call it load, some guys call it trigger. We like to call it trigger here. What we want to try to do in the trigger is we want to get our weight back. Now, it's not important how much weight goes back. Some guys talk about 60-40 or 70-30 or whatever. What I want my guys to do is realize that when you trigger, then you're going to have more weight back than you have forward. But there's some important keys to that I think are can make you break down or whatever. When you talk to a guy about taking his weight back, a lot of times a guy takes his weight back and he collapses on the backside. What you have to think about is like there's a stool that you're going to be sitting on, and your back hip is going to be on this stool, but you're going to have all your weight on it. Your back hip must be higher than your front hip if you're going to be a successful hitter. Your back shoulder must be higher than your front shoulder. So when you start the trigger phase, your hands are over your back foot, and what you want to do is take your weight back, but your hip goes higher. I know it sounds kind of funny, but that's the way it works. If you lose that, if your back hip collapses, if you do this when you take your weight back, now you're hitting everything up in the air. So what we've got to do is create that angle to where we can come down to the baseball. Now, it's going to sound like I'm saying you hit down. We don't. I believe you have a slight uppercut, but we'll get to that when we get to that part of hitting. So when we take our weight back, we're going to take our hands up. It's very important that our hands slide up, because remember, earlier on I told you that it's important that your hands stay above your elbows. When guys go into the trigger phase, one of the big problems that hitters do is they will take that front arm and they'll take it and they'll bar it out straight like this and get their hands behind their back foot. So if we can start with our hands in the correct place, then all we have to do is hinge them up. If you hinge them up, take your weight back, hinge them up, that will create what I want. The back shoulder being higher than the front shoulder, the back hip being higher than the front hip. And it looks something like this right here. There's the hinge up, hands are above the elbows, back hips up, back shoulders up, and everything is on a downward plane this way. I think it's very important that a coach must be hands-on, so that whenever he's working with his hitters, he talks to them about the positions they need to be in, but he has to physically put them in those positions. The two greatest things that a hitter has going for him, or a player has going for him, is his own best judgment and that he's his own best coach. So we've got to put them in a position to where they understand exactly what it feels like to do it correctly. We want them to develop hitting out here, and then we want them to trust hitting when they get into the ball game. So what we got to do is we're going to talk to them about a good trigger phase. So they're going to get in their stance right now. And then when I say trigger, they're going to take their weight back. And remember, we want the back hip higher than the front hip. We want the back shoulder higher than the front shoulder and the hands above the elbows. That's the three components that are very important. We want more weight back than we have forward. Doesn't really matter how much weight's back as long as there's more. Okay? Ready? Go into a trigger. Now, okay, notice there's a trigger, notice that his hands are above his elbows, he's got some weight back. We would like to see this hip up a little bit more, okay? Christian looks good. Remember, you want this shoulder down, this shoulder up. More weight back here than on the front side, this hip higher than that hip. Now we're ready to go into the stride phase. A good stride has three components, just like a trigger does. And these components is that it's short, it's soft, and it's closed. We don't want to lose what we did in the trigger phase. We don't want to lose the weight being back. We don't want to lose the back hip being higher than the front hip or the back shoulder being higher than the front shoulder. What we want to do is create a movement forward where it's short, soft, and closed. We got to stay closed on the front side. You can't open up. You're going to lose your shoulders. You're going to lose your hips. So it's important that it has those three components. It's short, it's soft, and it's closed. Short is not a number. I've heard guys say you want it to be 2 to 3 inches at the most. I think that it's different for each player. For instance, Jared's a little taller than Christian, so Jared's stride is going to probably be a little bit longer than Christian's. It doesn't have to be, because guys like Jeff Bagwell step backwards. Okay, so it doesn't matter if how the stride goes exactly or if your stride's longer than someone else's, but generally a taller guy is going to have a longer stride than a shorter guy. The key to the stride is that it gets you started, it gets you moving, and you don't allow it to leak you forward. A stride can be bad. You don't really have to stride at all. You can lift your foot up and put it right back down in the same place and be fine, but you can't start hitting from a dead position. You've got to start something moving. So we're going to put them in the trigger phase. I'm going to get them into the trigger spot. And then we're going to talk about stride. And I'm going to say stride, and these guys are going to stride out. When they do, we're going to physically look at their stride. Do not allow yourself to turn at all. Ready? Stride. They're just going to lift, put their front foot down. Notice they're still back. Their hands are still above their elbows. Their weight is still back. Their head and eyes should be up. His head should be up just slightly. And we're in a good position right there in that trigger and stride position. Remember the components: back hip higher, back shoulder higher, and the stride is short, soft, and closed. Okay, if we can develop a good trigger and stride where we don't leak forward, we've got our hands back, we've got our hands above our elbows, now we're in a position to really make a strong approach to the baseball. That strong approach is we have to fire our back hip. Now, some guys talk about squishing the bug, whatever. I don't believe that. I believe you fire your hip. I don't think you look at your back knee or your foot or anything, the hip goes, and it's got to be a violent turn. If you can turn your hip, you're able to stop your body wherever you want to. A great hitting coach one time said, the key to hitting is swing as hard as you can in case you hit it. And the second thing is, he wants you to get your barrel behind the ball. That's two great pieces of advice, but I think you got to have a maximum swing velocity that you can control the bat barrel, which is what we're going to try to create with this strong hip turn. And the hip turn will allow you to get that barrel behind the baseball. So what we want to do is, no matter where the ball is pitched, we're going to fire our hip. If the ball is an inside pitch, if the ball is out here, then we're going to fire our hip farther. It's going to turn around to where our hip's going to go, to where if I could take my hand and put it on this seam on the side of my pants, I'd be at a point directly at that baseball. And that turn's going to be violent. So it's a violent turn here, and I can reach to that baseball. If I'm hitting an outside pitch, then I'm going to have the same kind of violent turn. I'm just not going to turn quite as far, because what I want to do is create a turn to where I can point my hand right at the baseball. You will hit an outside pitch farther back. You do not hit it behind the plate. Everything that's good that happens to a hitter happens out in front of the plate. So, but the turn is going to create an angle, and no matter where it's pitched, the turn gets farther. There's outside, there's a little bit farther inside, there's a little bit farther inside, there's over the middle, there's to the inside. So the hip's got to turn, and I think you can control that. It's very difficult to control smaller muscles. So if you're trying to get your knee behind the baseball, that's a small muscle. It can go a lot, it'll go too far or not far enough. The hip is the key to the turn. The next important key, after you can get your hip to turn to the correct spot to hit the baseball, the next thing you want to make sure you do is not leak in the front side. A good hitter must create some kind of a torque in his midsection. You cannot allow your front side to leak out. That's a problem with a lot of hitters. When they turn their backside, they lose their front shoulder. When you lose the front shoulder, what happens is you lose the outside edge of the plate. Most pitchers are going to try to get you out on the outside edge of the plate. So what we want to try to do is be able to keep our shoulder in and create some kind of an energy right here in the midsection. So our back hip will fire and our top half will stay back, and we'll have a little bit of torque in our midsection. I'm going to put these guys in that position. I'm going to have them stride and turn, and then I'm going to put them in the position I want them to be in. Because remember, you got to be a hands-on coach. All right, ready? We're going to put these guys into a trigger position. Ready, trigger, stride, and now turn on the backside. Now notice, both of them wanted to go out. So you want to make sure they get a little feel back here. Turn them both back in a little bit so that they can feel that torque in their midsection. You've got to be strong right here in the midsection if you're going to be a strong and powerful hitter. This is the position you get into, and from here, this is where you hit. None of this stuff is going to create whether you hit the ball or not. It's going to put you in a position where you can hit the ball. And the key is to get your body in positions where you can be successful. If you lose any of this, you can't be totally successful. Now's where hitting comes in, and that'll be our next phase. Once we get ourselves in a position where we can get the bat behind the baseball because we've got our hip turned and fired, and we've kept our shoulder closed and we've got some strength in our midsection, now we're going to take approach to the baseball. Here's where the six ball theory comes in. Everybody else teaches hitting pretty much the same way, but this is where ours is a little bit different. I believe that every hitter has a hitter's box, and that hitter's box is about this big. Your hands go into that hitter's box every time. You do not throw your hands at the baseball. You take your hands into the hitter's box. You will take your hands in the upper half of the hitter's box if the ball is going to be up in the zone, and you take your hands into the lower half of the hitter's box if the ball is going to be low in the zone. But it's going to be there. Your hands are going to go into that box. And the way that works is, from right here, from this torque position, the hands will go first. You're still going to be closed on the top side. The hands are going to go in. The lead arm is going to straighten as the hands go into the hitter's box right here. This is the action of your arms. Okay? From there, the bat will snap to the baseball. Boom, and at that time, that's when you're going to release your torque and the rest of your upper half is going to go through the ball, which is going to create a lot of energy so that at that point in time, you have maximum bat speed. If you've created maximum bat speed and you throw the barrel to the baseball, then you're going to hit with a palm up, palm down position. But every hitter hits with the barrel a little bit below their hands. So the barrel is going to actually drop slightly. If you get baseball cards, still shots, video shots off of ESPN or wherever you watch it, you're going to see that when guys hit the ball, the barrel's a little bit below their hands. Also, their hands are going to be slightly turned up this way. And there's going to be a flex here. The hands and elbows are going to be in tight to their body. This arm's going to be straight. This leg's going to be straight. You're going to have flex in the back side. Knees are going to be tight. Elbows are going to be fairly tight. These levers must stay in close together for you to be a good and successful hitter. Hands must be in this position, and the bat is snapped to the baseball with maximum hitting velocity. When we get into this hitting position right here, this is the position that I think you've got to be in. Notice that he has gotten this arm straight. That's incorrect. That's a weak position. Notice that this foot is opened up. That's a weak position. If I tell Jared, as I take this bat, if I tell him to resist me, he's not going to have much resistance. Watch this. Resist me. See how easy it was for me to pull the bat back on him? Now, all I'm going to do is make a couple of adjustments. We're going to close this foot off all the way. We're going to take this hand. We're going to get this, straighten this arm out, and we're going to have a little flex back here on this backside. Okay? Now get up on your toe on the back. Now I'm going to have him resist me. Ready? Resist. See the difference in his strength level? That's because he has gotten himself in a position where he's strong. If I'm a hitter, if I'm a boxer, and I'm going to hit somebody, I don't want to hit them with my arm out here. I want to have all my power right here when I'm making contact. You want to have that same kind of contact when you're hitting a baseball. So you'll always be flexed on your backside with this hand. You'll always be firm on the front side. You're going to have flex here, and you're going to be firm here. Here's where the six ball theory comes in. When a pitcher throws a pitch, our eyes aren't good enough to know if the guy's throwing at 80 miles an hour or 86 miles an hour. We just know it's coming fast. If we have him timed perfectly, then we're going to make contact right here with this arm flexed, this arm straight, with some flex there and straight there. But let's say the guy threw it 3 or 4 miles an hour slower than what we had him timed at. So now, all of a sudden, we're in position to hit, but the ball is still here. Here's the six ball theory. What we want to try to do is stay on a level plane of the baseball through the whole deal. If we are right on time, we're going to hit this ball right here. If we are a little bit early, then we want to stay on the plane of the ball. Here's 2 balls. Here's 3 balls. Here's 4 balls. Here's 5 balls. Here's 6 balls. We have not rotated our wrist at all. We have stayed through the baseball all the way through to right here. So a ball can travel, my bat can travel this far, and a ball coming at 85 miles an hour is going to travel a long ways in that short period of time. So it allows me to stay on the ball longer so that I can hit the ball. If I hit a ball way out here, chances are I'm not going to hit it out of the ballpark. Okay? I'm only going to hit them out of the ballpark if I'm on perfect timing, but I can still get a base hit right here. My goal as a hitter is to hit a ball hard and get as many hits as I can, or hit it as hard as I can every time. I'm not so much worried about whether we get hits or not, because they'll come if we're always hitting the ball hard. So that's the six ball theory, staying through the ball as long as possible. Okay. The next phase in the hitting process, if we're working on the six ball theory and we're trying to stay through the 6 balls and letting this arm ride out, notice that that arm is actually going at a slightly up angle. If we just hit naturally, it's going to be a slightly up angle. We're going to be down to the ball, but we're going to be up through it. The reason that we've got to be up through the ball is because when pitchers pitch, they're taught to pitch the ball on a down angle. The only way we can intersect the ball correctly is if we're on the same angle as that ball is coming to us. So it's going to be a slightly upward angle when we actually go through the baseball. That's going to give us maximum power and be able to stay on the ball longer. The next key is, after we've been able to stay through six baseballs here, okay, we're still not done. We don't want to roll off this ball at this point. What we want to do is we want to get to the point. Now, here's the difference between a guy that's got power and a guy that doesn't have power. The guy that hits the ball and that outfielder runs up to the warning track and he stops, and it's like a ball catches a parachute and drops straight down. That's the guy that gets to right here and then he rolls off the ball. The guy that has the pop, the guy that rides the ball out of the ballpark, it jumps off of his bat and it just seems like it just rides out of the ballpark, is the guy that gets to the point. Here's the point. My wrists have not rolled over, but the bat head is pointed right back at the pitcher. Now my wrist will roll over, okay? We're going to get Jared in a position, get to contact. Contact should be back here. Now he's going to push through, and now he's going to point, and now he's going to roll and finish. Here's the six-ball theory, and here's what I tell hitters. If you are a one-ball hitter, you're not going to make the team. Because you're going to get to this position, get to contact position, and then the next motion that you're going to have is the bat's going to come up like this. So any ball that you miss timed, you won't hit. If you're a two-ball hitter, you'll get here, you'll get to the second ball, and you're going to roll off. And so on. Three-ball hitter, four, five, six. You got to get to the point. The key is the point right here before the wrist actually roll. The last part of the hitting phase is the finish. Do you finish high? Do you finish low? Do you finish on your shoulder or whatever? What I'm telling you is that if you're a good six-ball hitter, it doesn't matter. What you want to do is get the bat through the zone, get to the point. After this point right here, the ball is gone. Where you finish matters not. So if I want to roll over and finish down here, that's fine. If I want to roll over, finish up here, that's fine. Or if I just want to keep both hands on the bat and finish right here, that will be fine as well. The key is that I want to get on a level plane of the baseball. I want to throw that barrel at the ball. I want to ride through six baseballs, point the bat back at the pitcher, then my hands roll over and I'm done. If we can do that, you got a chance to be a great hitter. Now we're going to go in and do some systematic drills to show you how to develop a six-ball swing. To develop the six-ball swing, you have to have some systematic drills. You cannot develop a six-ball swing with a guy taking live arm or hitting off of a pitching machine. You have to do it through a systematic set of drills, and those drills have to be game speed. One of the things that guys do when they do drills is they'll make it too easy for the hitter. A hitter must develop bat speed. To develop bat speed and stay through six balls, you have to put him in a position in the drills to do that. So the drills we have here are going to be systematically set up to try to get these guys to develop bat speed, but stay through six balls and have good hitting mechanics throughout the entire motion. The first drill that we're going to do is drop drill. When you first start drop drill, remember, we're developing a six-ball swing, so instead of putting it in a perfect hitting zone for him to where he's going to easily hit this, we've got to put the ball farther out in front to simulate the fact that someone's thrown him a changeup and he has mistimed this ball a little bit. But we still want him to hit this ball, not coming around it, because we don't want him to fight the angle of the pitch. We want him to hit the ball straight back into the net. So I'm going to say ready, and then drop. When I say ready, he'll trigger and stride. When I say drop, he's going to turn, try to keep his torque that we talked about, and get the bat barrel through the baseball and try to drive it straight back into the net. Ready? Drop. Now notice he had to come a little bit forward in order to get that. That's what's going to happen to you as a hitter if you're fooled. What you don't want to do is do what hitters do when they're really fooled and let their rear ends go out and the bat go here. You want your body to go to the baseball. Here we go. Ready? Drop. As a hitter progresses in this drill, then we're going to just say ready and we're not going to say drop. And he's got to really watch the ball out of my hand and see the ball drop and go to the baseball and hit the baseball. Ready? As he progresses, we've got to make this more and more difficult. We're always going to say ready because we want him to trigger and stride each time. but we're going to get lower so that now he's got to pick the ball up quicker. He's got to develop some bat speed before this ball hits the ground. So I'm going to get a little bit lower. He's got to really watch. Ready? And ideally, we would like to get it where he's taking it out of our hand here. Let's try one. Ready? That's pretty close. Ideally, we want to get down to where the ball's at the bottom of the zone, and he's got to get through that baseball. That's drop drill. So remember the keys to develop the six ball swing is you start it a little bit farther out in front of them. Do you do that all the time in every drill? No. You want them to get the feel of hitting it on the nose because that's what you want those guys to do. But as you do the drill, start here and then work farther and farther out in front. Ultimately, we want to get them way out here and make them really have to go to the baseball. A lot of times what hitters don't do that we want them to do is we want them to make sure everything goes through the baseball. They want to hit and go away from the ball like this. So they've been taught to keep some weight on their back foot. We want them to get out on that front toe and get all of their weight going through the baseball at all times. That's what we're trying to develop with these drills. That's drop drill. Drill number two will be quick 10 toss. It's a soft toss drill, but it's not done the way most people do soft toss. You have 9 spots you will toss this baseball to, and you're going to toss them fairly hard at him. Those 9 spots are out in front, 6 ball swing. Between the knees, pitch down the middle, back knee, outside pitch. Belt, front hip, which is the 6 ball swing, at the belt, and back hip, which is the outside pitch. Front elbow, which is the 6 ball swing with the ball up in the zone, just above the belt, underneath the hands, be down the middle, and back elbow would be the high pitch. And then the 10, the reason we call it quick 10 is we can hold it on him. So we can simulate a toss and hold it and see if he's actually hitting what he sees instead of just swinging because we've created some kind of a swing plane for him. Okay? We're developing the 6 ball swing. So as I try to develop the 6 ball swing, we're going to toss everything out in front. What I want him to do is hit this ball out here, drive it back into the net. One of the things I talk about hitters the most is don't fight the angle of the pitch. Just because the ball is out in front of you, that doesn't mean you're going to hook it over the dugout. You still want to hit the ball in the zone it's pitched in the direction it was pitched. So if you're farther out in front and it's an outside pitch, you're still going to drive it to right field. If it's an inside pitch, you're still going to drive it down the line for a base hit. And if it's a pitch down the middle, you're going to take the pitcher's hat off and drive it right back up through the pitcher's mound. We're working on the 6 ball swing, so what we're going to do here is we're going to toss the ball out in front, and we don't want him to come around the baseball. We want him to hit it back straight in the middle of the net. So here we go. Right there. One more time. Try to get it out front, hit it back straight up the middle of the net. You want to do that, and as you go, you want to get to where you're throwing the ball harder and harder and harder, making him develop. As we've said in the last drill, we want him to develop some bat speed. The third drill that we're going to work on is going to be what we call bounce hit drill. And what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to bounce this ball out in front of him, and he's going to say bounce when the ball hits the ground. He's going to say hit as he makes contact. And what we're looking for is for him to have all of his energy going through the ball at contact. So it'll be bounce, hit, not bounce, hit. We want him to really have some stuff going through the ball when he hits the ball. So you understand? I'm going to go bounce and hit. Back up just a little bit. And I'm going to bounce this to him. When I start my hand up, he'll trigger and stride, and we'll go. Ready? Say bounce and hit. Ready? Bounce. There you go. Say bounce and hit. Okay? Okay, Jared, hop in here. We'll have Jared do it. Couple. Ready? Okay. And now what we're looking for is a good balanced finish at the end of that swing. I like to make most all of our drills be as game-like as possible. This last drill is really a bat speed developing drill that is called catch up. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to get behind him and I'm going to toss the ball through the zone. He will actually look forward. I'm going to say ready, toss. He's going to look for the ball to come through the zone, and then he's going to try. When I say ready, he's going to trigger and stride. When I say toss, he's going to look for the ball to get out in front of him, and he's going to go to the baseball and try to hit it. And you know, it's not important necessarily that they hit this ball so much as they get the timing down and they stay on the plane of the ball as much as possible. This is a difficult drill because they're doing it from blind. So look forward. I'll say ready, trigger, stride, and then you'll go. Ready? Toss. And what we're trying to do is get them to hit the ball in a straight line back into the net. Ready? Toss. Okay? Ready? Toss. Okay? Jump in there, Christian. Ready? Toss. Oh, bad toss. Ready, toss. Okay. See, Christian went around that one a little bit. We don't want to go around the ball. We want to go straight through the ball, right back into the net. Ready, toss. Hopefully we've created a very good swing for your players. Remember, the important key is to have balance, keep the bat on the plane of the ball as long as possible. Preferably through six balls, you got to get to the point, and you got to have a few systematic drills. Any of the drills that you like to do, I just gave you three or four of our favorite drills, but any drill that you like to do, you make it game speed and make sure the ball is out in front a little bit so that these guys stay through the ball longer. If you do that, I think you're going to develop much better hitters, have better bat speed, better bat control. And good luck, and I hope you have a great season, and I hope your players all become great hitters. Thanks.